week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Well, thank you so very much for letting me come in your home this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day, the day the Lord hath made, and the Bible said we can rejoice and be glad therein. I trust that everything's well at your place. I trust today that God is blessing, which this is the day the Lord hath made, and this is the Lord's Day. We're getting ready to go to the house of God. So as we begin our service today, let's just kind of magnify the Lord together and lift Him up, because He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Let's get into our broadcast today, and with this beautiful song, we hope you enjoy it. Hope it starts your Sunday off just right.
Lord, if you could show me the light to the tunnel, if joy can follow tears with one faint smile, as long as I can see the rainbow pushing through the clouds, I'll be all right while I'm going through the trial. Going through and going through the trial, knowing well the Father won't forsake His child. Strength and sorrow that lasts for just a while, I'll be alright while I'm going through the trial. Teach me how to sing my song in darkness. Let my heart be as trusting as a child, as long as I can see the mountains merely stepping stones, I'll be alright while I'm going through the trial. Going through and going through the trial, knowing well the Father won't forsake His child, finding strength in sorrow that lasts for just a while, I'll be alright while I'm going through the trial. Going through and going through the trial, knowing well the Father forsake His child, finding strength in sorrow that lasts for just a while, I'll be alright while I'm going through the trial. I'll be alright while I'm going through and growing through the trial.
Well, we just cannot say enough about how that we appreciate you who are paying and praying and helping us to maintain this broadcast. But we are really struggling, and we thought we'd just kind of pass it out to our listener and audience. We know that we have a lot of listeners here in the 990 over around in the Nares area and also in the Beckley area. But we are struggling with the 990, and we definitely need your help. We need your prayers. We need your support to continue this broadcast. God's blessed our heart that we might be able to broaden our ministry. And to do so, we need some people that will pull up the gap. So we hate to have to talk to you like this about it. But, you know, the Bible said, let our needs be known before the Lord and before the people, because I know the people love the broadcast. We appreciate that. They love what we stand for. They've stood behind us so many years, and we'd hate to have to give up anything. I never did like to have to back up for the devil. I like to move ahead for God. So you pray about it. And if you can support us here on the 990 station, also out of Beckley, we would appreciate it. I have never had to do this before. This has always been a ministry of faith. But if it's possible that there's someone there that would like to just sponsor this broadcast right here on the 990 station, we certainly would appreciate it, because I think the ministry is very important. Martha and I have shared our lives with you, and you have shared our lives with us, and we certainly do appreciate you, and we certainly do love you. I tell you what, this Sunday we're not going to make any announcements or any requests, but it doesn't mean we're not thinking about the sick and the shut-in. But next Sunday is going to be we're going to sit down before the mic and do a request broadcast. And if you have a special request, a marriage or a birthday or maybe just a greeting you'd like to send out to someone, why don't you write me this week and let me get it on for you, okay? Let's go right back now and listen to another beautiful song.
A great celebration that is being planned today, and there's a feeling of excitement in the air, and the final preparations are all now underway, and the guest of honor soon shall take his place.
What a day when we gather with the Savior. Oh, what a day when His glory we behold. My heart is thrilled to know that I'll be in the number when the crowning King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Reach like a page from history. The saints of all the ages will be on hand, and the singing of the ransom choir will entertain us there. We'll all rejoice at the merry supper of the Lamb.
Oh, what a day together with the Savior. Oh, what a day when His glory we behold. My heart is thrilled to know that I'll be in the number when the crowning King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Do another song here, and I hope you enjoy this one, and then we'll be right back with today's message, a message that we have preached in the past, and we've been reaching back and getting some of our old sermons that we preached. I think the people like it, and this one especially kind of related with the people at an old-fashioned camp meeting we did, and the people enjoyed, and I think you'll enjoy it because it says a lot to the laity. You see, I believe the laity is very important. You are very important. The least of you are very important, and there is no least, but at least, you know, a lot of folks just think too little of themselves. They need to think much more about themselves, but where would we as clergy and churches be today without our laity and people who kind of lay back in the background, but people who are very supportive through prayers and support? So today we're going to be doing a sermon that I like to do, and it kind of relates with Martha and I's life, and maybe it'll relate with yours also, is that though I don't do oneness.
What would I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley? Lord, I just couldn't walk this road alone. When I'm hungry, He feeds me. When I'm thirsty, He's my water. I could make it without Jesus. What would I do? When I need someone to talk to, He's always there to listen. With arms fold about me, and He rocks me in His bosom. What would I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When my tears flow like a river, and my burdens are high as a mountain, and the one I've trusted has let me down, well, that's when I go to Jesus. He's the one that I can count on. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When I need someone to talk to, He's always there to listen. With arms fold about me, and He rocks me in His bosom. What would I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do?
Reading over in Matthew, the 21st chapter, and I want to read the 28th verse. But what think you? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first, and he said, Son, go and work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented, and he went. And he came to the second, and he said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterwards. I got up the other day, and Martha works, as you know, and I walked into the kitchen, and Martha was ready to go to work, and I looked, and here on the table she had a bottle of Windex, a roll of paper towels. There was a small trash can sitting over in the corner. And I said, what is all this stuff? Well, she said, today, while I'm working, I want you to clean the windows. Well, all of a sudden, I began to look around the parsonage, and I began to count the windows. And in my parsonage, there's 28 windows. And I said to Martha, Martha, do you know that there are 56 windows in this parsonage? And she said, yes, and every one of them needs to be cleaned. I said, Martha, I don't do windows. Then Martha, very politely, after 40 years of marriage, turned to me and said, "Well, then what do you do?" I took it to my church. Immediately, the following Sunday, I took it to my church, and I preached the sermon on "I don't do windows." And many of them agreed with me. They don't do windows. Many of them agreed that if their wife gave them a towel and Windex and a trash can and told them, "I want these windows clean when I get back." Many of them agreed with me. They said, "I don't do windows." Stop to think with me just for a moment today. Jesus is calling for laborers. How come so many people are looking for jobs, but after they get them, the first two questions they ask is, what are the benefits and how many weeks vacation do I get? Because no one wants to work. Why did Jesus say, "Look upon the fields"? They're white. They're ready for harvest. And all we need now is laborers to go out into the field. But no one wants to do windows. As a matter of fact, no one wants to do anything. "I just don't do windows." But let us think for just a moment. Supposing that Moses, when God spoke to him on that mountainside, you know, when the fire began to burn in the bush, and Moses said, "I'll turn aside and see this great thing," because he didn't understand it. But when he came to the mountain, he saw a bush burning, but it was a non-consuming bush. And the Bible said that when he got close, that the Bible said that God said, "Moses, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. Because I've got something I want you to do. I want you to go back to that land and that country that you were cast out of. And I want you to bring deliverance to my people. I've got a great job for you, Moses. It's not going to be an easy task. It's not going to be any fun doing it. But Moses, I want you to go." And notice that Moses began to say, "God, I'm unelegant. I can't go, God. I can't even speak." But you know the sad part about it, when you stop to think about it, that God said, "Okay, I'll give you a spokesman. And I'll give you someone that will go with you. And you don't have to do any of the talking. All you got to do is go and tell Pharaoh that I said, let my people go. And Aaron will do all the talking." But when they got down there, Moses, he did it all. But what if Moses was said to God, "Now, wait a minute, God, I don't do those kind of things anymore. I don't do deserts. I don't do slaves. After all, Lord, I'm completely satisfied with what I'm doing right now. I've got a fine family. I've got a beautiful wife. I've got some beautiful kids. I've got everything I need. I'm completely comfortable in what I'm doing. Why should I leave that and go down there to Egypt? After all, God, they may take my head this time. They were lenient one time, but if I go back to that place, Lord, it's hard to want those people. Hey, God, after all, I don't do those kind of things no more. I don't do slaves, and I don't do deserts, and I don't do Exodus. I don't do any of those things anymore. I don't do windows anymore." Let's take old David. You know, I'm trying to bring you some supposings. Supposing that when David went out there and David came up on a scene, and here's Israel, God's people, and as they looked around, and David said, a very small lad, and you know, I like this because, you know, those that are young in heart and young in mind and are willing and ready to do things. You know, we've got a lot of Christians today that are concrete Christians. Did you know that? Oh, you're solid, all right. You're set right in your ways. I mean, after all, you'd have been poured and set. I hope not said that. After all, you're here this early in the morning. But what would we do without you? What would we do without your prayers? What would we do without your support and your faithfulness? But anyhow, let's get back to David. And David comes upon the scene. Here's the army of God, this victorious army that God had used so marvelous. Everyone was afraid of this army of Israel, except these giants. And the Bible said that as David came upon the scene, he said, "Hey, fellas, what's going on here?" Well, he said, "There's a giant over there." And he said, "You ain't seen this fellow, David. He is one great big dude. And he is threatening to destroy anyone that comes out against him.
And he said, David said, I think we don't have anybody that can fight against him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, David. I'd go, but I don't do giants. Now, someone needs to go and whip that fella, and let's move forward, but ain't nobody does giants. And God said to David, he said, David, you can go. Well, Lord, I don't know now. It was all right, David. Lord, back there when there's a bear in the line. But after all, now, Lord, this is a giant. And I just don't do giants. As a matter of fact, do we do anything? God called us, and believe you me, we have some giants in the land today. We've got a lot of giants out there. I think one of the most moving songs that's been sung or produced in the last little while is "Let's Take America Back." I hear preachers stand in the pulpit and everything is being done. Vision 2000 in the United Methodist Church. And then there's John Hagee that says that we need to take America back. But the question I'm asking, who gave it to him to begin with? You know how he got it? Because we don't do anything anymore. Too many giants out there. Too many things have come up that have caused the army of God to become a non-active army. I don't do windows. We've got a lot of giants out there. We need a lot of praying. Did you know the antidote that God gave us in 2 Chronicles 7:14? When my people that are called by my name would pray. We have the greatest weapon in the world. We have prayer. We can pray. And I believe that when we pray, God hears our prayer. 400 years down in Egypt's bondage, they prayed. And deliverance never came, but they kept on praying anyhow. But did you not know that when God spoke to Moses, God deliberately said one thing to Moses. He said, Moses, tell them I heard their prayer, I saw their tears, and now I'm giving them deliverance. It may take us a little while. It may take a little time. It may take a little labor. It may take a little work. It may take a little struggle. But we can see victory. There's giants out there. But David went up against the giant. But what if David said, I don't do giants anymore? Supposing that when Jesus, and you know that song said they searched through heaven and could not find one willing to be. Well, I kind of wonder about that. I believe that God said to the Son, Son, you've got to die. There's got to be a sacrifice. You're going to have to go down to a world that doesn't love you. They don't like you. They're going to hate you. They're going to pull your beard. They're going to spit in your face. They're going to call you a bastard. They're going to say that your mother is nothing but a streetwalker. That you were seared by a German soldier. That you were a sex fiend. That you were, and they're going to take you and they're going to hang you on a cross. And you're going to die. But supposing Jesus has said, now wait a minute, God, wait a minute, Father. I don't do crosses. That's not my thing now. I mean, after all, look at me. I'm living in splendor. I have everything I want. Look at it, Father. Look at the walls of jasper. Look at the streets of gold. Look at the gates of pearl. And you want me to go down there where I'm hated and where people are going to spit in my face and where people are going to drag me through the streets in shame and blood is going to drip from my brow and from my back. They're going to lay great big barrels. Now, wait a minute. I don't think I want to do any crosses. But he was willing.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know just what you see. A miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. An old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, I'm loved and forgiven. I'm back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. How could I boast of anything I've ever seen or done? How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, I'm loved, I'm forgiven. I'm back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, I'm loved, I'm forgiven. I'm back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Well, we certainly do thank you for sharing with us today in the broadcast of Something to Believe In. And remember now, next Sunday, we're going to have just requests. We know a lot of folks out there, and so many people comment on the broadcast, so many people that as we pass along the way, and they say they hear the broadcast, and we certainly do appreciate you. This radio ministry on here on this station.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at the same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Tommy returns now with some final comments.
Goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That is my humble prayer.
We appreciate each of you for your loving prayers, and we look forward to being with you again next week. And as we leave you today, always remember, there is something to believe in.